friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And if he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. In fact, if he isn't yours, he came to be. The Word of God tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, I was in that column one time, the lost column, but thank God I got in the saved column. Listen, there was a time I was on the broad road on my way to a devil's hell, to a Christless eternity, but thank God, by the grace of God, listen, I changed my direction. I'm now on the straight and the narrow, that path that leads to life eternal, and you can have that too. You can have that too today. Well, I hope this finds you well. I'll tell you, we're still at the beginning of this program, at least in the midst of all of this craziness that's still affecting us, this pandemic that is affecting us. I'm telling you what's the truth, folks. Listen, if I wasn't saved, I'm telling you, if I wasn't living my faith, I'd do my best. I mean, immediately to stop doing anything and everything else I was doing. I'd get on my face before God and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. I know I need you in the midst of all this madness, wherever this is taking us, what you're trying to warn us about, I'd get real serious with God. And if I was saved by the grace of God, listen, friend, listen, I'm 67 in the making of this tape. I've got black lung. I'm in a high-risk category, they say, but I'm not going to live my life in fear. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I'm not going to be stupid. I'm not going to tempt the Lord, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to the house of the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. Look, I believe in my lifetime, this is probably one of the most challenging times that I've ever seen. I believe there's more at stake here in this day and hour than we could ever imagine, this election that's coming up. And listen, shame on you if you don't vote. Vote for values. Don't vote for party. I mean to tell you, get your head out of the sand and pray and listen. Listen to truth. Do some investigating on your own. Don't vote party. You vote principle. Ask God how to get you to mark your ballot. And if you do that, I'm sure he'll guide you in the right way. Well, I've opened my Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 25, the book of beginnings. I'm going to read you three or four verses from that passage, and by the grace of God, I'll share the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. I hope it's a blessing. I believe it will. I've prayed, and I believe this is what God would have me to share with you today. You enjoy the song titled Just Around the Bend that Debbie's going to do. When she gets done, I'll be back with the message.
I've heard of the land that's waiting just beyond the river. I've heard of the land that one day I will see. And I know that soon and very soon I'll take my journey to spend eternity. Just around the bend, just around the bend, heaven is waiting. Just around the bend, there's a resting place where joy bells will ring in the good old gospel way, and where saints will welcome me home. just around the bend. Just around the bend, the friends and family are waiting me. And I know that one day I'll hear my name.
My name called.
Call and I will take my journey there to my resting place that's waiting just around the bend.
Like that. And how true that is, friend. Can I ask you, though, can I ask you what's going to be your eternal home? There's, look, friend, I'm a simple preacher. I'm a simple man. And I believe the gospel is something simple. I believe God's will is simple. I believe the way that God has set before us is simple. There's a right and a wrong way. There's light and darkness. There's heaven and hell. There's faith and unbelief. And I'm going to tell you, friend, there's only two places in eternity. A place that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare for those that put their trust in Him. And there's a place that's already been prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you go there, sir, ma'am, you go there as an intruder. You certainly won't be welcome. You certainly will not be comfortable. In the book of Genesis, chapter 25, the Word of God says this in verses 7 and following. He said, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. Then Abram gave up the ghost, died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre. I'm going to talk to you today a little while, Lord willing, if you'll pray, God will bless. I'm going to talk to you about dying satisfied. Dying satisfied. Hey, can I give you a news flash? We're all going to die if we live long enough and if we don't go on the rapture. I don't know about you, but I'm counting on the rapture. I'm praying about that. I'm looking for Him day after day after day. But if He doesn't come in my lifespan, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to die satisfied. I'm going to either die satisfied or leave satisfied with life. Death's inevitable, without a doubt. It's inevitable. Look, we don't have to die. Without being satisfied. I'm telling you, we've got a choice in the matter according to the Word of God. Now listen what verse 8 says. He died in an old age, a good old age, an old man. And here's the phrase that I wanted to get. Full of years. Now, I don't know how many years you've got. I don't know how many years I've got. I know this about me. I've already spent more than I've got left. I've got that figured out. I'm smart enough to get that exactly right. But can I tell you, when I'm talking about dying satisfied with life, I'm not talking about the quantity of life that you've got. I'm not talking about necessary length of days. I'm not talking about the number of days, but I'm talking about the quality of that life, the kind of life that you live. And I believe with all of my heart, Abraham is a great example of this. I believe God has set before us a perfect example of a man who died satisfied. Died satisfied. Listen, we can choose to die in either way that we want to. Die satisfied or not satisfied. We cannot choose how we die. Everybody listen to me and heard me say that. Say amen. We cannot choose how we die, but we can choose how we die, whether we're satisfied or not. And I don't know about you, I want to die satisfied. I want to die satisfied. And look, I want you to remember that phrase, full of years, full of years. There was a little girl, I forget how many months old she was, wasn't much over a year. And so I believe she died satisfied. I believe that with all of my heart. Couldn't speak a word, but she spoke with her eyes. She spoke with her expression. I'll never forget her. Never forget her for all of my life. Her little name was Molly Grace. And some of you all may know her. Some of you all may remember her. But what a little life that touched my life and changed me and taught me many things over the months. Debbie and I have the privilege of knowing her and trying to minister to her family. What a lovely thing that was. But that little thing, I believe with all of my heart, died satisfied, died satisfied. You know what it means? To die full of years, it means to die just exactly with what I'm saying, satisfied with life. And I want you to know the Bible isn't replete with men that have died that way. We've got a record of 5 men that died that way. Now let me say this about that. I believe there were more. I do believe there were more. Without a doubt, there were more. I believe a man of the name of Daniel died satisfied. I'm not sure about a man of the name of Jonah. I'm not sure about him. I believe it can be said that the Apostle Paul died satisfied. Even a man by the name of the Apostle Peter and others. I could name multitudes of others, but for whatever reason, God saw fit to name Abraham, his son Isaac, that great psalmist of Israel, David, a king that we don't hear much about, Jehoiada, and a man by the name of Job. The Bible said these all die satisfied. And can I tell you, none of them lived a life that was totally pure and pristine. None of them lived a life that didn't involve death and dying, depression, discouragement, doubt, and fears, and battles and enemies. But oh, we can die satisfied with life if we choose to. Dying satisfied doesn't mean we'll live that perfect life. It doesn't mean that it'll all be roses and cream and cherries. It doesn't mean that it'll be easy, a cakewalk. It doesn't mean that we won't have enemies. It doesn't mean that we won't have failures along with our successes. But I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it does mean. It does mean if we follow the pattern that Abraham laid down, I believe that we can die satisfied. Wouldn't that be a good epitaph on a gravestone? Satisfied. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? I remember an old song that I'll be satisfied, it says. Of course, it talks about when we're in the presence of the Lord. But can I tell you this? We're in the presence of the Lord. I know what that songwriter meant. I know what they were speaking of. They're talking about being in that new place that Jesus has gone to prepare, having that new body that He said that we'll getting us out of this place of sin and darkness and depression and death into that land and country where there's joy in life and peace and glory forevermore. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can die satisfied. We can die satisfied if we choose to look. We can see that in Abraham's life, everything wasn't peaches and cream. Everything just wasn't coming up roses. I mean to tell you, there were battles. There were challenges. There were mountaintop experiences. There were valley experiences. There was obedience and disobedience. We could see this in the life of Abraham. He was just a man like you and I, made out of flesh and bone, but the thing about Abraham was he believed God. We can too. We've got, according to Peter, like precious faith. Isn't that amazing? Our faith today is no different than the father of faith, Abraham. Our faith is no different than David, than Job, than Jehoiada, or Isaac. Look, it's not the amount of faith. It's not just because it's our faith or their faith, but it's where we deposit it. It's where we anchor that faith. And if we anchor it in the things that God has told us in His Word, I'm telling you, we can die satisfied. Look, we can see in Abraham's life that, that there were a lot of good days and bad days. I'm telling you, friend, I mean to tell you, he made some right choices and bad choices. And I want you to know life can be demanding on us. Some days will just be harder than the others. And some of them, the choices that we make in the days that we live might be more demanding and difficult than others. But can I tell you again, we can die satisfied. You say, how, preacher? Well, let's think about this. Number one, according to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. And I'm going to take time to read some of the verses here that I'm thinking about and the Lord stirred my heart to. The Bible said, and the Lord had said unto Abram, in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Genesis, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. One of the keys to this, and I didn't have it written down, but here it is anyway. We've got to separate ourselves from the world unto God if you want to die satisfied. I mean to tell you, friend, you got to give things up. You got to release things. And we'll see that throughout this message. And He said, God did. I will make you, Abraham, of thee a great nation. I will bless thee thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallowed bless them that bless thee. Curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here's the first key. I know one, we got to take God at His word. Hey, Abraham was no spring chicken when God picked on his heart and said, Abraham, I want you to follow me. I want to bless you. I've chosen you. I've seen you. I know your heart. I know the kind of man that you can be. Abraham, will you obey me? You know what Abraham did? Abraham said, God, I'll obey you. 75 years of age. Way past settling down age. Way past being comfortable in that safe zone. God came to him and said, Abraham, if you'll just bless me, if you'll just believe my word, if you'll just take me at my word, I'll bless you in ways that you never imagined. Look, can I tell you the way to be satisfied with life? The foundation you've got to build on is taking God at His word. That's the foundation for a life that's going to be satisfied. And not only at the end, but throughout all of it. We just simply got to take God at His word. And let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean that we've got to understand everything that God says. It doesn't mean that we've got to be able to explain it right down to the bitter end. It doesn't mean that we've got to know how to cross every T and dot every I. No, it doesn't mean that, friend. It just means simply that we know the Word of God the best that we can, and we just believe it. We just obey it. We just put ourselves in a position that God can bless us. I believe He said in the book of Jude, verse 21, that great book of prophecy, that great book about the apostasy of the last day, that day and hour, and actually what you and I live in, friend. Job said, listen to the end, after he had written all about the apostate, all after he had written about all of that negative stuff, he ends up with a positive note. And in verse 21, he said, keeping yourself in the love of God. Listen, friend, it's up to me and you to keep ourselves in the place and the position where God can bless us. Number two, not only should we take God at His word, but we are to live by faith. If I had time, and I'm turning the book of Hebrews chapter 11, even as I speak, if I had time, I'd begin reading at verse 8, read down through and include verse 19, but I do not have time to do that. But it says, by faith, Abram and Sarah, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. I'd encourage you to read that passage, Hebrews 8 through 19. Matter of fact, the whole chapter do you good. But you know how to be satisfied with life? I just live by faith, by taking one step at a time. One day at a time is all we got to do it. Living by faith, friend, listen. Please listen to this. Does not, let me emphasize, does not mean that we live without fear. But it does mean, bless God, by the grace of God, we do what we believe God has commanded us to do. We live our life in spite of all the fears and the questions that come against us. We're faithful. One who has called us out and called us in and actually called us unto Himself. That's what living by faith is. It isn't the absence of enemy. It isn't the absence of problem. It isn't the absence negative situations. It isn't the absence of failure. It isn't the absence of all of these negative things. But it is, friend, it is staying steady. It is still moving forward. It is still doing what we know, the best we know, the best we can. Bless God for the glory of God. It means moving forward. It means that we look beyond the current circumstances. It means we look like Moses did to Him that is invisible. It means, friend, that we look for those things according to 2 Corinthians 4:17-18 that are eternal instead of getting caught up in the things that are temporal. We walk by faith, friend, anchored in the Word of God and in the promises of God who are true and with who is true and faithful altogether. Not only do we live by faith, not only do we take God at His word, but we repent when necessary. If you look in chapter 12 and 13 of the book of Genesis, you'll find that in chapter 13, especially, God told Abraham, said, now listen, in 12, you go into the land of Canaan, that land that I'm going to give to you and your seed. And there was a famine in chapter 13, came to the land. You know what Abraham did? Abraham hightailed it, went down to Egypt. Went down to Egypt. Hey, can I tell you? Getting to the place where we die and live satisfied with life isn't generally a straight line. I mean to tell you, there are times when our path takes us through famines, through disobedience, through failure, through sin, through wrong choices. But can I tell you what Abraham did in chapter 13? In chapter 13, after chapter 12, he went down into the land of Egypt. He came back to the place that he had built an altar. He came to a place where he had already been. When he came out of Ur, the Chaldees, into the land of promise, into that land, friend, that God had sent him in and God had promised him in. And you know what he did? He called upon the name of the Lord. You know what that means? He repented. He knew he had sinned. He knew he had disobeyed. Look, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 19, 20, and 21. I'm not going to turn and read them. I don't have time. I can't quote all of it, but let me tell you what I can quote. The Bible said, I believe it is in verse 20, that he staggered not at the promises of God. That may be verse 21, but you know when that was? When he was 100 years of age. I mean, all those experiences of his past, all those times that he lied about Sarah, whether it was down in Egypt or down in Gerard. Hey, do you know what he did? He learned how to walk by faith. He learned how to trust God in His Word. He learned that all he did had to do was be obedient unto the Word of God as he knew. He learned the power of the altar. If you don't believe me, look in chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Chapter 13, verse 4, 18 and chapter 22 at verse 9. Hey, Abraham found the power of the altar. He knew the place he ought to go. When he messed up, he knew where he could get cleaned up and fixed up and filled up and stood up. He knew what it was, friend, had to visit the altar, had to repent when necessary. I'm telling you, friend, listen, I bless God, even our kids can learn from us. If you look at Isaac when he first got started out, I don't know what chapter it was, maybe chapter 26. Listen, he was a man of the well, but he went to the altar and he prayed too. Well, let me give you one more. Time's running by really quick. Not only do we take God at His Word, not only do we live by faith, not only do we repent when necessary. Look, you know what Abraham did? He gave it all to God. I mean to tell you, all of his life, his longing, his learning, he surrendered generally. I mean to tell you, he just gave it all to Almighty God. I mean to tell you, Abraham gave his most prized possession. He gave Ur, the Chaldees. He was familiar with that land. I mean, it was easy for him and Sarah to live there. Had a great life ahead of him, was promised great position and authority and notoriety. It was safe for him. It was comfortable. But you know what he did? He gave it all. He gave his nephew Lot. He gave his son Ishmael. And you know who else he gave? He gave the very apple of his eye. He gave his son Isaac on an altar. But he remembered how that God would give him back. Hey, friend, I don't know what you need to give up, but in order to get the best, God will have you to let it go. Corrie ten Boom said this. Corrie ten Boom said that I've learned to hold loosely those things that I possess so it won't hurt us so much when God pries my hands off. Let me give you one more in closing. Oh, I wish I had more time. You know what else he did? He accepted the gifts God offered. I mean to tell you, the blessing of being a father of many nations, the bounty that he was going to get because of the promise of the land, the promise of that everlasting covenant that was a covenant of grace, the prosperity and the posterity that he would have a seed. But can I tell you the most important you'll find in Genesis 22, I forget the verse, but he promised Abraham a substitute. He offered him a substitute. That's the only way you can die satisfied. If you take God's substitute, if you give Him your life, if you lose your life in Him, you'll gain life. Bless God, I'll guarantee you'll gain life. If you let Him give you the grace of God, the salvation that comes in light of His Son that died at Calvary, that's what a picture, or that's what that ram hung up his horns at a us. In Genesis 29, spoke of as Christ dying at Calvary. You can die satisfied. Hey, be honest today, sir, ma'am. You won't die satisfied if you die today. You won't die satisfied if you're lost and undone. I'll guarantee you that. Why don't you run to Jesus? Why don't you that are sinners tell Him that you are? Tell Him you're lost and undone. Tell Him you need Christ as His Savior. And you that know Him, let's give up. I bless God whatever it is that's kept us from Him. Hey, let's decide by the grace of God that we're going to die satisfied. God bless you until the next time.
You are my Savior. You are my Savior, the Lord my Shepherd, and You are the soon and coming King, Jehovah.
Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce